I think that is why personal branding is so hot, because everybody is looking for different ways to provide value, and everybody is looking to position themselves as the right alternative.
Welcome to the Joy Powered Workspace podcast, where we help HR and business leaders embrace joy in the workplace. I'm Jody Curtis, owner of Purple Inc., an HR consulting firm. And with me is my friend and co-host, Susan White, owner of Susan Tender White Consulting, also an HR consulting practice. Our topic today is personal branding. In a February 2022 article in the Harvard Business Review by Harrison Monarth, he talks about a coaching client of his. His client was turned down for a promotion because his boss said, "Nobody knows you." His client was very surprised because he had received regular praise for his strong work ethic and good results. But what he found out was that the senior managers at the decision-making table had no idea what he stood for or who he was as a person. Susan, I thought that was such an interesting article on this topic, because many times we think about branding as being outside of our organizations, maybe, but this was such an important topic internally inside the business as well. Mm-hmm. And many people believe our efforts, education, or performances are enough to outcompete our colleagues and secure advancement opportunities. We might not realize, though, or have been taught the value of a personal brand. Often, we confuse our reputation with our personal brand, but the two are not one and the same. Everyone has a reputation. The first impressions you make, the relationships you form with managers and peers, and how you communicate, all of these things impact how others see you. Your reputation is made up of the opinions and beliefs people form about you based on your collective actions and behaviors.
You know, Jamie Dimon, when he joined Bank One before JPMorgan Chase, he came in and he talked a lot about everybody in this organization has a book written on them, and they wrote it themselves. And he always talked about, know what's in your book, make sure you, what's in your book is what you want people to know about you. So anyway, this really makes me think about, he was, I thought, this was probably back in the late 1990s, really on the forefront of your a personal branding.
Yeah.
Although he called it your book.
I love that. Your personal brand, on the other hand, is much more intentional. It is how you want people to see you. Whereas reputation is about credibility, your personal brand is about visibility and the values that you outwardly represent. You have the power to define your brand by aligning your intentions with actions. That is, changing your decisions and behaviors to influence how others see you. If that image aligns with the opportunities you want, then you're more likely to secure them.
Makes sense.
We have a guest today who knows a lot about personal branding. David Wagner is a personal branding keynote speaker, fractional chief marketing officer, and the founder of OneMarketingIdea.com. That's one as a number one. marketingidea.com, which is an experiential consulting firm. He is the trusted advisor and counselor to influential thought leaders and businesses. During his keynotes, David Wagner shares a simple three-step framework that leverages authenticity to deliver a personal experience that evokes positive emotion and creates deeper and stronger relationships. David, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a delight to have you on the show. And I wanted to ask, why is this topic of personal branding so hot right now?
Two words, probably. Taylor Swift. That's probably why it's so hot. But
I'm a Swiftie, so I'm interested.
Yeah. You know, it's all the possibilities that are out there. But the term personal branding is not new. In fact, it originated in an article, 1997 article written in Fast Company by a very well-known former McKinsey consultant named Tom Peters, where he called the article, "The Brand Called You, and You Can't Move Up If You Don't Stand Out to Your Customers, Colleagues, and Your Virtual Network of Associates." Quite frankly, that still holds true now, especially in this day and age where we are witnessing some of the most explosive changes that we've experienced in our lifetimes. You have artificial intelligence, you have remote work, you have the gig economy. It is more and more important that we are a lot more transparent with our employers and our customers and our network of affiliates and the people that we interact with, both at a personal and a professional level. But personal branding, frankly, is the process of creating a distinct and memorable image or reputation for oneself to communicate your identity and more so a value. Right? We used to think that just our efforts, education, hard work, performance were enough, but it no longer is enough. You know, if nobody knows who you are at work, customers or potential leads don't know who you are, then quite frankly, it's going to be very difficult for anybody to access your services, access the value that you provide, and more importantly, have the opportunity to provide you with those growing options or those moments for growth, especially at work. I think what happens is we used to think that people were just doing their work and really there was nothing more to them. But, you know, arguably this being my mobile phone, being the most personal piece of hardware that we carry with ourselves everywhere, and there's 6 billion mobile users across the world, now you really can make an impact just from your home, just wherever you are. Personal branding has become a very important piece of growing in your professional life, growing in your personal life. I know, Susan, funny that your name, your last name is also Tinder, because I met my wife on Tinder. So
I like yay. I'll take a little credit for that. If you don't mind.
Yeah. So, you know, much like the way we used to position ourselves out in the marketplace when we were looking for dates, you know, you customize your personal brand so that you find the right opportunities for long-term relationships. And I think that is why personal branding is so hot, because everybody is looking for different ways to provide value. And everybody is looking to position themselves as the right alternative for jobs and for careers.
Sure, I agree. So, David, what are some ways in which personal branding contributes to a more humane and inclusive work environment? We're real concerned about making sure we do have inclusive workplaces.
Yes, actually, that's very interesting that you bring that up, because transparency is very important. The times of hiding behind, you know, your title are long gone. If you are, you know, not a nice, inclusive, and kind person on your personal life, it will translate into your professional life. So building your personal brand also brings that accountability, that responsibility into the equation. And the more you work on being that responsible, value-driven individual in your line of work, the more transparent you have to be. People are, you know, you cannot be a fake in front of people that have quick access to who you are and the things you're doing, maybe, you know, on a weekend or so. So employees nowadays, the more they look to their personal branding to grow in their careers, the more transparent they become. And that influences how workplaces can benefit from it. In my experience, joy-powered workplace environments are the byproduct of healthy teams. And I love, you know, very simply put, the three E's, which are a short acronym for enthusiasm, excellence, and empathy. Employers are looking for enthusiastic people. Yes, people looking to, you know, go the mile for their companies. They're looking for excellence in everything we do, be that in the way we communicate, be that in the products that we develop, be that in the way we collaborate with other people. Excellence is at the top of every employer's list. And finally, empathy, you know, the ability to collaborate with others and to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and to really understand, you know, what it is that they're going through and how can we be of more help towards the team as we grow to achieving our professional career objectives and overall company goals.
I love that. And I have to tell you, I'm still a bit stuck in an earlier comment you made about the dating apps, which I think, you know, Susan and I have both been married for a long time, way before dating apps became popular. But now it is like the way to meet up with someone, and probably one of the reasons why this has become such a popular topic. As you said, it's been around for a long time, but people are building that not only in the workplace or for their own businesses, but for themselves personally as well, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's once you realize that you can build a persona and be truly authentic and deliver value for in your personal life as we seek, you know, long-term relationships, you very quickly realize that, you know, in your job and for the things that you do as an employee, as an employer, as a partner, you need to also dedicate the right amount of time and be strategic and intentional when building your personal brand, because your personal brand will give you that visibility that in front of the right audiences, right? There's many stories where you see that somebody has been working with a vendor for a long time, and then years later, the vendor ends up hiring this person. Or in my case, for example, I was very intentional with my name for and my personal brand for a very, very long time, way before I started my own practice, my own consulting firm, about 6 years ago. And I made it a point to reiterate and reinforce the value I provided to the relationships that I met over the years. I like to say I really didn't open my door 6 years ago. It was a long time ago as I have built these long-term professional relationships, primarily online through the social media channels and emails and so forth. So, you know, it starts with that intention, right? It starts with what it is that you want to accomplish, what it is that you need to do to put the right blocks in place. And then who do we connect so that, you know, down the road when the time comes that you need to be in front of somebody that might have the right opportunity for you, you have already built that, you know, relationship.
Right. Well, if one of our listeners is looking to grow their personal brand, what is one of the first things, if not the first thing, they should do?
Funny, we were just talking about that, a great segue. I think the first thing to look at, which is the easiest and it costs nothing, is really to clean up your social media profiles, right? To align them in a way that people understand very quickly what it is that you do and some of the great things you have accomplished. Also, find a way to keep them all consistent, be that on LinkedIn, X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Snapchat, whatever it is that you're using the most and where you connect with people the most. You know, make sure that people know what you're good at, what you do, so that you're always top of mind every time they connect with you. Another thing would be start friending the right individuals. You know, the time of, like I said, the time of hiding behind your desk or, you know, in the confines of your home office are long gone. If you want to connect with somebody, you just open your social media channel and find the person that maybe you just did some work with, or maybe a leader or a manager with whom you're building a nice connection, a friendship, and then connect with them on social media, because we know that that relationship can be nurtured for years to come without necessarily being in front of one another. And finally, providing value. I think every time you say anything, especially across the social media channels or with your teams or as an employee to your supervisor, always look to deliver value. Look for words of supporting any initiatives, coming up with ideas and finding ways to really be useful, which, by the way, I took that from the last book I read from Arnold Schwarzenegger's last book is called Be Useful. And it's really fantastic how he lays out, you know, strategies and ideas on how to be more useful, arguably a very successful person in his career in three industries. But being useful really summarizes what it is that you should be focusing on as you look to grow your personal brand in the marketplace. You know?
Yeah. I love your first concept of being social media. I have to tell you, I've had my business for 14 years, but probably 6 or 7 years ago, I noticed I like to travel a lot personally and for work. And even if I'm traveling for work, you know, I might do something fun at night or be somewhere. And I was taking pictures or, you know, posting about where I was a lot. And some people might still think I do that, but I actually do it only like a third as much as I used to, because I would get a lot of comments from people saying, like, do you ever work? Or, boy, you seem to have lots of vacation. Or so now I try to, A, just not post about that so much, or B, you know, I'll mention that I'm here for work, but in the evenings. And I was like, wow, that just really hit me as something that was the brand I was putting out there and didn't even recognize that.
Yeah. And it's funny that you know, there will always be multiple opinions. And, you know, once you enter the realm of social media and become as successful as you are, you know, you'll always find those comments. But, you know, there's the other side of the coin where people are looking to you as, wow, I want to do that when I grow up, you know?
Yeah.
How do I achieve that level of success? What can I drink that she's drinking? How do I, you know, be a fly on the wall whenever she's in a meeting with clients? So those are the people also that, you know, are looking to you as, wow, yeah, they're looking to you as, wow, I want to work with this person. This person is top gun and I want to be a part of what she is doing. So, you know, unfortunately, the former are the ones that tend to voice their opinion quicker.
So
to that, you know, my second point was to connect with the right people. So as you move forward in your relationships, connecting with the right people, partners, sponsors, clients, vendors, contractors, you will realize that while there will always be those other comments, you will have this other group of people that are really looking to you as the, you know, the standard of where they want to be. And that's how I've built my relationships online. And, you know, it's worked out really good, really good for me.
Yeah.
So David, in addition to social media, which I think you've made some excellent points, do you leverage personal branding to build deeper and stronger long-term professional relationships?
For us, first off, let me just encapsulate what it is that we do as a personal branding consulting firm. We help personal brands grow their business. And the first thing we do is really help them understand how to invite more people into the narrative. How do you connect with people, with the masses, and how do you be more specific as to you and bring people into the conversation? And that has to do with a lot of optimization, a lot of providing valuable content across the networks through an email newsletter, really finding ways to be in a position to give. So that's the first piece. In order to to receive, we need to give first, right? So that's the first thing we like to recommend. Put yourself in a position that you're giving something first to those individuals who might be interested or leaning into the type of content or value-added information, knowledge that you have to provide. Number two would be keeping or finding a way to stay engaged and increase engagement. Answer to replies, you know, shoot somebody a message that you haven't for a long time. Stay, for example, I like to say ear to the floor, you know, when people are growing and moving in their lives and you see what they're doing, the activities that they are doing through the social media channels, for example, you can see where they are in their lives and put yourself in a position of really being of support when needed, being in a position of getting excited when necessary, being in a position to really listen to what they're saying through emojis, through comments, through direct messages, you know, really being in a place where people want to engage with your content by virtue of you first engaging with their content. So it starts with, you know, bringing them into the narrative, then nurturing that relationship, and finally building community, right? Because, you know, let's say I move from my current job to another job. Well, I better know very well who I have connected with for the last 5 years in my existing job and making sure I have all that information. That's the beginning of my community, right? The people I work with, the emails they have, their personal information, cell phone numbers, social media connections, all of that for the last 5 years that I've built. When I move somewhere else, then this is my community, my personal community. So building community is really, since the pandemic hit, we saw that the majority of personal brands who had built a robust community, they were the ones that not only survived, but thrived post-pandemic because they had people to go to. They had ideas to share. They had a group, a contingency of people that they could communicate with, engage with, sell to, learn from, help, you know, and then sell to. So really building community is what really makes the bigger impact. And in this day and age, if you were to sell your practice, your job, or if you want to move somewhere else, you always have that community that follows you.
Great advice. What's one small step or change that you made during your career that boosted your joy at work?
I was born and raised in Lima, Peru, where I lived up until I was 17 years old. And I grew up very differently than the American culture. So, you know, I think I may have been a little rough in my communications early on in my career. Add to that, I've been sober 20 years. So that, you know, just another level of complexity. But along the way, I realized that the only way for me to be happy at what I do was to lead with a servant heart, to always be there to help people, to always be there to listen, being present, and really being grateful of the things that I have. Little by little, I have become more of that. And today, I love what I do. I love what I do. I love what I do for many reasons, you know, least of them, the fact that I'm in Southern California, you know, that, nice. That my career has taken me here, where it's funny, sometimes clients, as we build marketing strategies with our clients and we align their marketing goals to their business goals and then their business goals ultimately to their personal goals, somewhere along the line, they come up with, yeah, I would love to sip margaritas at the beach, you know, when I retire. Well, you don't have to retire. I do that every weekend, not margaritas anymore, but you know, the point being is that, you know, it's a matter of being there for people who, you know, strive for better lives and just sharing your story. So that's really has changed the way I look at work nowadays, really being somebody who is here to help and support.
Thank you for sharing that. And I will say, you know, this, the concept of Joy Powered really came about because I was talking to so many people who didn't love their work, right? Sometimes they even hated their work. So I love to hear you say, I love, love, love my work, right? That's when we find joy is what we're doing.
It brings me joy to hear other people that love their work. David, how could our listeners reach you if they're more interested, if they're interested in learning more about personal branding or working with you?
A few years back, I made a decision as it relates to my name, because my name is David, but in Spanish, it's David. So since I moved here to the United States, I've been called David, and going back to David was impossible. All to say that I spell my name D-A-V-E-E-E with three E's, just so that it sounds phonetically, D-A-V-E-E-E, three E's and D, David Wagner. If you just Google that, you'll find me everywhere. There's only one, guaranteed. So far.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent. A good personal branding tip, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to make sure that it was very easy. Very easy. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And I feel like I learned a whole lot about personal branding. So
my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Jody, we have a listener question. We welcome questions from any of our listeners anytime. If a change is due to a policy compliance issue that needs to be met, how should you communicate that to stakeholders who are resistant to change?
Yeah, which is a topic we all want to know the answer to, right?
Yes.
We all struggle with doing this, but I think our answer is communicate, 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 right? Tell people it's coming. Tell people when it's coming. Tell people, you know, how long this, I mean, it might be a forever change, but it might be an interim change as well, too. But also, this was something I struggled with early in my career as an HR director, is that I didn't always tell people why we were changing, right? Mm-hmm. I probably knew why. I had looked into different alternatives, but I didn't share that with other people. I just would announce, hey, we're making a change. So letting people know what's the background, what's the story, why maybe our software won't be supported anymore, so we have to shift to a different one, or maybe we've grown out of our software. Of course, change could be a lot of different things, but we have so much change in technology, right? That example always comes to mind at first. And my other thought on this is to find some people, some key influential people. And when I say that, I don't necessarily mean the CEO or the C-suite, but people with boots on the ground or that maybe are very interested in this change or a proponent of this, so they can spread that excitement and spread information at the ground level too.
I love that idea. The only other thing I might add is that when I'm introducing a change that is legally driven or policy driven, and I know that the reaction is going to be, oh man, they're just making these policies up, I make sure they know that part of my role is to be a risk mitigator. And we're going to need to make a change here, or else we're going to be inviting risk into the organization. And they may not like it, but I think they can respect that.
Yeah, that I think is a great point around change, right? That there mm-hmm. might be a lot of people who don't like it, but if they understand it,
yes,
understand the purpose of it or why we're doing it, that can help at least. And now in the news, I know that you will be particularly interested in this one, Susan.
Oh, good.
But if you haven't already heard, wine tasting is the new thing for corporate connection. Who doesn't love a nice sip of quality wine over intriguing conversation among colleagues? Corporations are taking advantage of sophisticated events as such to build more robust and meaningful relationships for employees. You know, I'm not even that big of a wine drinker, but I have been to many different wine tastings where mm-hmm. I was educated about wine and found that also intriguing. Mm-hmm. So not only maybe just drinking wine, but learning about the wine can be an interesting gathering too.
And you're right, Jody. I'm happy to do either. Both.
So if you're looking for new ways for team building or bringing your people together, think about wine.
Sign me up.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and make it a joy-powered day.
Thank you.
If you would like SHRM recertification credit for listening to this podcast, please visit getjoypowered.com/SHRM. You'll find an evaluation of the podcast, and once you complete the evaluation, you will see the SHRM recertification credit code and a link to a proof of participation certificate. Again, that's getjoypowered.com/SHRM. Thank you for listening, and thanks for your dedication to the HR profession.
If you like this show, please tell a few friends about us and let us know what you thought by leaving us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find more information on our podcast, our books, our blogs, and more at getjoypowered.com. We're at Joy Powered on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And you can send us an email at joypowered@gmail.com. Make it a joy-powered day.